who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 24th, 2015, Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the service teaching on After Deliverance, Now What?
Carla's going to come. As Glenn used to say, another one will be down in history.
Yeah.
You know, the cool thing is, when we're all gone, the word lives on. The truth lives on. He anointed there to set others free. Those that you're praying for might hear some of these messages down the road. And it says, I bless my sister. I bless my sister.
I received it. I bless you back. I bless all of you. We do thank you, Lord, for this weekend and all that you've done. And Father, this morning I pray that you would seal every word that has been life-changing to those that have heard it and received it in their hearts. I ask you to seal it there. And I bind any birds as in a parable that come and pick up the seed and steal it out of their hearts. I bind any of those birds that would come and do that, Lord, to take away what they've had. I thank you for that. I want to bind every spirit of backlash and retaliation that the enemy would come because of the ground that you've taken this weekend. He's going to want to come and take it back. You got to make sure he doesn't take it back. It's yours. It belongs to you. Stand your ground. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about after deliverance. What? One of the things that I tell people is, listen, you know, before deliverance, those demons are there. Some came with the package when you were born. Some come because of our own actions and things that we dabbled in. Some come for no reason at all. The devil's just a bully. He hates us because we belong to Jesus. And he wants to make sure that we don't have any positive effect to the kingdom of God. Many times he'll just come to distract you just to keep you from doing what God calls you to do. And it's not bad stuff. Sometimes it's good stuff. Still a distraction. We have to be really careful about being pulled away from what God has us doing. You have to protect that. It's like a baby. You have to protect that thing. And when those demons are there, I'm speaking from my own personal experience. I didn't even know they were there. I thought it was me. That's what Satan wants you to think. That the evil thing that's tricking you up and giving you problems, he wants you to think that it's you. It's not you. It's an evil spirit that is in the flesh. That's where they work. In the flesh and in the mind. You can't touch your spirit. If you've been born in, it is sealed.
Amen.
But the flesh, something different. You know, it occurred to me one day as I questioned, as I asked a lot of questions to God, if Adam was made in your likeness, in your image and after your likeness, how is it that he has the capacity to sin? And in reading Revelation chapter 12, talks about a war in heaven, and that's not a future war. It happened in the beginning. He created the heavens and the earth, and then there was a war. Right away, Satan wanted to make himself above God. And it says that he lost the battle. Him and his angels lost the battle. And he was cast into the earth. And what happened when he hit this earth caused a cataclysmic chaos. Which is what's happening all now. Chaos.
Yep.
Disorder.
Yep.
It said in verse 2 that the earth was void and without form. That's why, because Satan was cast to the earth. The whole earth became corrupt at that moment. So when God made Adam of the dust of the earth, it was corrupt. But then he breathed into him, and he became a living soul, a spirit man. The breath of God is his spirit.
Amen.
Adam was a spirit man. But the flesh that the spirit man was breathed into was corrupt.
Amen.
Because it was made of the dirt, the dust of the field. They were corrupted. So if we look at this very closely, we are exactly, after we've been born again, exactly like Adam, who was God-breathed. God has breathed into us. If you've been born again, he has breathed into you, and you became a living soul. Your spirit was born again and made perfect, just like Jesus. But that perfect spirit is walking around in a corrupt flesh body. That's how we have the capacity to sin. That's how we have the capacity to sin. Our flesh works against our spirit. Okay, so after you're born again, your spirit is made perfect. Your flesh is not. So there are spirits that work in your flesh. I use the story of Jesus going into the temple and casting out those that defile the temple. They were in the outer court. Our body is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Ghost. And he resides in our Holy of Holies, which is our spirit. Then there's an inner court. That's our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. And then there's the outer court. That's our flesh body that we walk around in. And Jesus, those things that were defiling the temple were in the outer court. The same thing that defiled our temple. They're in the outer court. And those things have to be cast out. In the story of that, it says that after they were cast out, people could come in and be healed. So there are things in our flesh that are keeping us from being healed. And I love the ministry of the casting out of demons, because then you can receive healing. They work hand in hand. Jesus cast the demons out, then he healed them. Cast the demons out, then he healed them. And so, that's the process that we deal with.
Amen.
Cast them out, be healed.
Amen.
So before you have those cast out, you are kind of like a pawn. Kind of like a glove. And that spirit comes in and uses you like a puppet. That's what happened to me. I had a very strong spirit of control, which we usually attach to Jezebel, because she was controlling. She took charge. She stepped into the king's place, wrote letters in his name, stamped it with his seal. All forgery, all manipulation, dishonesty, all those things. And I had a strong spirit like that, to the point that I hated myself. That's what Satan wants you to do. The things that you can't control, he wants you to hate yourself about. And then he will just torment you about that thing to keep you from ever going forward. And that's what we don't want to happen. So, while that spirit is ruling you, and I'll tell you, my son, when he went into rebellion, he had generationally inherited things from his ancestors, my ancestors. And he was tormented by those things. He called me up in his bedroom one night, and he was just crying. Because he said, Mom, I don't want to do these things. I don't know why I do these things. Every time I say, I'm not going to do these things, before I know it, I've done it. And then to do again. No matter, I tried it again. I did the very opposite. And all of a sudden, I had a memory of Romans chapter 7. And I said, well, you know, Kyle, you are in good company. Because the Apostle Paul had the same problem. Those scriptures used to just, I could hardly read them. It was like being tongue-tied. I read them. Romans chapter 7. And it was the same explanation for myself. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, starting at, let's just say, 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For that which I do, I understand not. In other words, I don't understand why I do the things I do. For what I want to do, that do I not. The thing that I want to do is not what I do. But what I hate, that do I. I end up doing the thing I hate. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. That means to do the right thing is there. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't know how to do it. I can't figure out how to do it. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I would do it, but sin is dwelling in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, our spirit is in our spirit to do good. Because our spirit is replaced with us. We have the capacity to be like Christ. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Isn't that what we all end up saying? Every time we fall. Every time we want to do good, but we don't do good. We say we're not going to do that thing anymore, but then we end up doing that thing. Oh, wretched man I am. That's how Satan had me looking at myself. Because I was born again. I wanted to do the right thing. But for the life of me, I could not do it. It was like a volcano. Maybe y'all can relate to this. I had many spirits. I had anger, rage. I had a critical spirit. I had jealousy. I had that controlling spirit. A raging maniac. Just a raging maniac. I hated it. And I would say, okay, I decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. The next time that opportunity arises, I'm going to not let that happen. And then here came the opportunity, and the volcano would start coming. It's coming up at my feet, and out it comes, and before I know it, I've blobbed it all over the place. I hated that. And Satan had me hate myself. And it was a joyous day when I realized it's an evil spirit. Thank God. I would read the word and I would see how I was supposed to be as a wife, as a mother, as a woman, as a Christian. Couldn't do it. Wanted to, but couldn't do it. So, I started asking God to help me. And he did. He started showing me things. And then I had a visit from an uncle in Connecticut. And he asked to pray for me, and he came against that illegitimate spirit. That's the bastard curse that I talked about. Speaking of LHBCOnline.com, if you feel like you need more information on that, you can go there. Scroll down my name. There's a lot of teachings on it, but I only really, really know what's in mine. Because I hate it. But it's a cruel spirit. A cruel spirit. Maybe you feel like I was not loved. I mean, I was the baby of the family. You have a baby of the family, Martha. You have a lot of love. But so nobody could convince me to have a flesh. That's an evil spirit. And you don't have to live with that. So, before you have these things cast out, they just kind of tug at you. They just tool you around and cause you to do things that you don't want to do and make you have yourself ended up in a terrible depression. Wanted to die. Because I couldn't do it. So, that spirit, like in my son, I understand it. That thing is down there. And for a while it leaves you alone. Doesn't make you do anything. But after a while, I call it, it's got kind of like a cookie monster. It wants cookies. And maybe it goes for a while. No problem. But after a while, here it comes. I want cookies. Give me cookies. And here it comes up. And here it comes up. And then it takes you over. And it's going to get cookies. Whatever it is, whatever your weakness is, that's what it's going to drive you to do. Okay, after deliverance, when that demon has been dealt with, the demon, I say after deliverance, there's discipline. After the spirit has been cast out, it doesn't mean you won't be tempted anymore. But now you have more power over it than it has over you. And you have a right to say no.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
And you are going to have many opportunities to use that power to say no. In the name of Jesus, no. And don't try to fight with it. Don't try to fight with it. Commit it to go in the name of Jesus. You spirit that is wanting me to do that, I bind you, I break your power, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And it sets your mind on something else. Don't stand there and argue with it. Command it to go and then do something else. I'm telling you this because the demons will already call what you want to. Something, you know, you understand this, boys. You've heard it before. We all have it. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
He's going to come to you and say, you know what, Monkey? Nothing happened. You think something happened? Nothing happened. And then that thought is going to get in your brain, and you're going to start arguing with the thought. Now, let's tell you about feelings. Patty said this. Can't go by my feelings. Feelings will lie to you. And it starts with a lying spirit. Okay, God, it says in Jeremiah and other places, he's watching over his word. He is listening. His eyes are long in the air looking for somebody that will speak his word, that will come in agreement with him. Because let me tell you, when you line up with him, things are going to happen. But do you know Satan also works like that? Many times when I am trying to encourage somebody, God will speak to them through me, and I'm hearing it for the first time. And this is what he said about feelings. I was telling my oldest son, he was having feelings of self-condemnation about a particular thing. And I said, you know, and I want you to start noticing this. When people talk to you about something, they're going, I just feel like this, and I just feel like that, and I just feel like, and I just feel like, and I just feel like, and I just feel like. And I said, let me say something. This is what happened. Satan wants you to hate yourself. He wants you to think you're a failure, and he's going to come, and he's going to project a thought. That's why it says in Corinthians, I don't know if it's 1st or 2nd, 10, 4 and 5, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 10, 4 and 5, you've got to take that thought captive immediately. Immediately. It's like a rattlesnake. It would come in your house thing staying there very long. You need to get that thing out of there. That's the way you need to see it. You need to come against it that violently, that thought.
Amen.
Because the thought is going to come. And then in your brain, it's like, you don't like that thought. It's accusing you in your mind. And you're going to start defending yourself against that thought. And then the conflict of that releases chemicals in your brain, which have an effect over your whole body, and becomes a feeling. And Satan is out here, let's just say, you'll never amount to anything. That's a lie. Satan says, you'll never amount to anything. And then you think, I'll never amount to anything. I don't believe that's true. Surely I can amount to something. Well, I do this and I do this, and that's going to count for something. And then you're arguing with that accusation. Then you start having the chemical releases. It has an effect on your body. And then you call your friend and say, I just feel like I'm never going to amount to anything. And Satan's just waiting for you to come on agreement with his word. He's got you. And then it takes a long time to get you out of that, to change that thought. Remember, one of the definitions of repent is change your thinking. You're going to have to change your thinking. You're going to go home and the life of your first time. What are you going to do with it? Shut up and go. Shut up and go in the name of Jesus. Or if you want to hack him off, start praising God for just the opposite.
Amen.
Nothing happened to you. Praise the Lord, my life has changed. You have to change your thinking. Because one of the things he loves to do is make you doubt. Genesis 3:3, let me read that to you. This is where all the trouble started. God said, right? God said, of all the trees of the garden, you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. That, listen, God's word is God's word. Don't deviate from it. What happened? Satan came, the serpent, and he said, yeah, that was 3:3. I'm looking for half God said. Where did the serpent say, half God said? Well, don't help me out. Half God said, that Genesis 3:3.
First one,
thank you. Now the serpent was more subtle, and that means cunning, slippery, slick, sly. Was more subtle than any beast of the field or sword God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He is putting doubt on God's word.
Yes.
Are you sure that's what God really said? God really said that? He's casting doubt on God's word. That's what he's going to do to you. He's going to cast doubt on what happened to this weekend. He's going to make you doubt that anything really happened. You know why? Because if he can move you into doubt, he can get you in unbelief and then just get rid of it. But, praise the Lord, in Luke 10:19, I want you to know this, because you're going to need it. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power. Power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're going to have to use that power. You're going to have to take that thought captive, then you're going to have to use the power and command him to go in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to use that power because the lying spirit is going to come. You're going to have to take those thoughts captive and cast them down. Everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, anything you hear that is contrary to the Word of God, you need to take it captive and cast it down. And bring it into the obedience of Christ. That means, nope, you come right back to the Word. Because His Word is the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 4. See, discipline after deliverance. Discipline. You need to discipline yourself.
Amen.
Matthew 4:3. So let's just start at 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." What's he trying to do? He's trying to make Jesus doubt that he's really the Son of God. But you know what the devil comes out of? It makes him doubt. Am I who God says I am? If he's going to tempt Jesus, don't think for a minute he's not going to come and tempt every one of you and me. He will. That's what he does. That's his job. That's what he does. And if he can shed doubt, then he goes to unbelief. And then it's over. You're going to have to fight for this place that belongs to you. If you are the Son of God. What an idiot. It didn't work on Jesus, but it worked very effectively on many of us.
Amen.
Don't let him move you away from the truth. That's what doubt and unbelief is, being moved away from the truth. Now we'll look at Genesis 7. You know, and he fought the enemy with the Word of God. It is written. You'll never know anything. It is written in Jeremiah 29:11 that he's got a plan for me, and it's a good plan, not evil, and a plan with an expected end.
Amen.
Success, victory. You're going to have to come at him with the word, just like Jesus did. And then it says, the devil leaves him, but where does it say he comes back? For a season. He met him for a season or something like that. Oh, he'll be back. He'll try again. And he'll try again. Genesis 7:16. This is about the ark. Noah's ark. 7:16. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. God is the one who closed that door.
Amen.
He's the one who closed the door. The ark is a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. They went into the ark and they were saved. They were delivered from the flood. Jesus Christ is a type of ark that we can run into and be saved. He's inviting us in. In John, like one time I was in this praise and worship service. And we were being led in worship, and I hope I can find that scripture. It's not in my notes, but the praise and worship service was saying, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For if we lift up the name of Jesus, all men will be drawn into him. And I was right in the middle of it. Lift up the name of Jesus. And God said, go look that up. Really? Okay. Well, when I got home, I looked it up. Do you know what that scripture really said? Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, that means resurrection, I will draw all men unto me. He is drawing all men unto himself. He's drawing all from the minute we're conceived, he's drawing. He's calling us, calling us, calling us, calling us, hoping we'll come in. But I want you to know there's another day coming when the ark will be shut.
Amen.
And there'll be no more entrance. When he draws, you better respond. When he talks to you, you better obey. Because this is what I know, and I'm seeing it happen already. There's no saying, you might fool some of the people some of the time. You might fool all the people some of the time, but you'll never fool all the people all the time. Well, I have one better than that. You're not fooling God at all. He knows everything. And at the end of the day, we better get serious with our walk with God. It's been true. The mercy of God has been extended, but I believe we're coming to the time where God's not going to wink at sin anymore. His grace, thank God for His grace, but there's coming a day when that's going to end and judgment begins. And the door's going to be shut. And we need to make sure we're on the inside of the door. Look at Acts. And that will be done. Probably the shortest thing I've ever done here. Acts chapter 1. Oops. Wow. I wonder what's going on when I was making my notes. It's 5. Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also knowing of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now see, at this time, everybody was selling everything they had and bringing it together for the use of the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to be part of this. They wanted to do what everybody else was doing. But in the privacy of their home, they said, okay, we're going to sell everything. But, you know, I think we're going to hold back this much for ourselves. We're going to get this amount, but we're going to hold back some for ourselves. But nobody needs to know about it. So then they bring it to Peter. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Uh-oh, busted. Let me tell you, God knows. It's time to get serious with our walk with God. We can't walk over here with God and then walk over here and do our thing, whatever that thing is. God knows. We think we're fooling the Holy Ghost. We're not. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep that part of the price of the land? Peter says, it was yours. While you had it, wasn't it yours? And after it was settled, wasn't it in your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and died. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. Can you imagine the great fear that fell on everybody? The lying to the Holy Ghost. And the young man arose, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what had happened, now she comes to Peter. And Peter said to her, answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Right there, she had an opportunity to tell the truth. She had an opportunity to tell the truth. And she said, because she and her husband had made an agreement. Yep, that's right, that much. Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them who have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down immediately at his feet and died. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many that heard these things. When you're presenting yourself as a Christian, you don't know how many people I talk to or that email me, and they're wanting help with something, and I ask them a question, and the way they answer it, I am like, holy cow. They've got all this going on in their word. Wow, how did you even get to this place? A Christian is Christ-like. You cannot live in blatant sin and call yourself Christian. It is time for the church to be the church.
Amen.
Look at Romans 6:16. where it comes down to the nitty-gritty. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to? Okay? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you obeying? You want to call yourself a Christian, but you're shacking up. You want to call yourself a Christian, you're having adulterous affairs. You want to call yourself a Christian, and you're whatever your thing is. And there's coming to know, just like Ananias and Sapphira, that if you don't get honest with yourself and with God, you might drop dead.
Amen.
You're lying to the Holy Ghost. That is a dangerous position. If this is scaring you, it ought to.
Amen.
It's time for the church to be scared into some right things. We have shellacked stuff, put icing on rotten cake for so long that we don't even know the cake is rotten. That is scary. Okay, so now we're going to look one more scripture. Joel 3:14, for the life, I don't even know what it says. I jotted all this stuff down and, whoa. Joel 3:13. Okay, here it is. Yay! Oh, yes, it is, too. I was looking at verse 13. That's not what I remember. Okay. Oh, it is 13. No, let me 12. Verse 12 says, let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations around about. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get down, for the press is full, for that overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. That's where you're standing, in the valley of decision. Every day we make decisions. Every day we're going to choose whose servant we want to be. That's sobering. So this is kind of a warning. Consider yourself today warned.
Amen.
It's time to get honest with God and yourself. But when you get here, just know that just like Satan went to Jesus and said, if you're really the Son of God, he's going to say the same thing to you. If you really think that thing is on, if, just be ready for it. And don't argue with him. Don't try to prove anything to him. Tell him to shut up and go in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to start using the power that Jesus Christ gave you over all the power of the enemy in order to put him in his place, and his place is not in us. Do not give the devil place. Don't give him place. Because if you give him place, he's going to own the place. He wants to own the place. And once you let him in, he's hard to get out. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to hang on to you. He thinks that you belong to him. He wants you to. But just remember that. When the doubts begin to come, do what is necessary. Command the enemy to go, to shut up and go in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, as we go, I bind the spirit of doubt and belief and the lying spirit that will want to come to each of these that have received from you to make them doubt, to move them away from the truth of God's word, just like the serpent said to Eve, Did God really say that? Yes. Yes, he said that. And whatever your problem is, go home and dig in the Word and find some scriptures. I call them bullets. Find some spiritual bullets for your spiritual weapon, which is your mouth. The word of God in your mouth, coming out of your mouth, the sword of the Spirit, to fight him. Don't let him take what you've gotten this weekend. You've made progress. Hang on to it. Otherwise, you're going to come back and try to get the same progress you already got. That shouldn't be happening. So, Lord, I bless your people. I pray that they will remember these things, that when the enemy comes to cast doubt on what they have received this weekend, to put the enemy, to take those thoughts captive, to cast them down quickly, to bring them into the obedience of Christ, and to stand their ground. Right? I bless you. Lord, I ask you to bless the food. I think this last meal is free, is that right? All the goody leftovers are there. Go and enjoy your last supper here until we meet again. And I bless you. I bless each of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace. Enjoy. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.